Good evening, Calvary.
Praise
the Lord for almost a full house tonight. I appreciate that. I appreciate those that are interested in coming out to hear from heaven tonight. If you come out to hear from Brother Steve Pope, you've came for the wrong reason. Although he is a great man, a good friend of mine in the ministry, I love him dearly. I love his dear wife. You didn't come out tonight to hear from Steve Pope. You come out to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ through this servant. So that's what we're hoping for tonight, that God will just fill him up and use him. I've not ceased to pray for you, Brother Pope, since the Lord put you on my heart for this revival. And I know you've had some sickness and everything. And you'll see Preacher Pope tonight preaching from a handheld mic. He's had a little throat issue, and it's just going to serve him better to use a handheld tonight. Not doing it for vanity's sake. He's not a rock star. And he's just a humble servant of the Lord, and he just wants to try to give his voice a bit of a reprieve by doing it with a handheld mic tonight. 1,000 of you, and there ain't but 200 of you here, have asked about my mom. Let me start off by saying thank you so much for your patience with myself and my wife. I was here yesterday evening, and we had to leave. Carrie's dad, I won't call him my little brother, but Carrie's dad got a little bit excited, and he said that I needed to come over there like right now because mom was very sick, and my mom is very sick, and I won't take away from that. That's where Ryan and Robbie are at tonight. Cindy and I went over and spent the day while Troy was there, one of my other brothers, but they've gone tonight. They're putting in a hospital bed tomorrow, and they've ordered the morphine and all the comfort medicines and stuff that go along with end-of-life care. So you just pray for my mom. She's been low before, and we've seen her bounce back before. So I don't know what God's doing. That's up to God. But I do cherish, and I really appreciate your prayers tonight. I can't thank you enough. And for those that's already been offering to take food and stuff, Miss Jean and others, I know that you're interested in taking care of your pastor and my family, and I appreciate that. But we're not there just yet, so we'll leave it at that. But there'll come a time, and I will call on you. My brother's even turning down his own church. You know, his church is wanting to do things. My mom's church is wanting to do things. But just right now, we'll just hold off on that. And as time goes on, then we may need your services. But anyway, right now, the main thing is just pray that God will keep her comfortable and not let her suffer. I don't want to see that. She's got five boys. And it had not been for a praying mama, who knows what would have come of us. All of us are saved. All of us have our own families. And you know, I credit a praying mama for that. I credit the Lord Jesus Christ, but a lot of that belongs to a praying mama. My mama got saved we're Baptists, but mom got saved in an old Pentecostal holiness tent meeting. And praise God for that. It was an old brush arbor back many, many years ago. And I asked her about her testimony many years ago. I was getting ready to preach a message on this. And the message was this: I want you to go ask your parents and your children, whoever's in your family, about their salvation experience. And I wouldn't ask of my congregation anything that I wouldn't do myself. So I asked my mom, and she took me straight to the street. She took me straight to the tent. She took me straight to the conviction. She said, "We was in an old Pentecostal holiness tent meeting down here on this road, and bless God, the Lord showed up, and I got saved." She was 14 years old. And I'm telling you, because of that, there ain't no doubt in my mind, she stayed close to Jesus, and that helped us to make our own way to the cross ourselves. I'll ramble on all night. You didn't come to hear from me, but I do appreciate your prayers. Don't forget Brother Donnie Staley. Today's Donnie's birthday, and I thank the Lord for touching him. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, he had a triple bypass, open heart surgery, and just continue praying for him. I sure miss Tim Anderson tonight. And you pray for Brother Tim. So good. I've got Brother Woody out here tonight. Brother Woody had a chemo drip last week, and he just kind of a little bit suppressed in his immune system. So if he doesn't shake your hand, he's not mad at you. He didn't even shake the preacher's hand. I'm not even going to lead the church over it. I've had people do that, but we're not going to do that. Preacher Pope, you ready? Folks, y'all love Preacher Pope.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, Preacher, we love you. You are a blessing to me, and you're a blessing to this church. Come on up here and share Jesus with us. Thank you so much for your prayers. Don't forget praying for those that's been sick. Got some others getting ready to have some procedures toward the end of the week, and we've not forgot you. You know who you are. Brother Danny and Wanda are not here tonight because their son-in-law, Steve Brown, had some surgery today. So you pray for that. Marlene Church had some prayer requests for Brother Edward. Just a whole multitude of prayer requests. God knows them. Tonight, that one was sitting beside you that might not be saved. Let's pray for them, that tonight would be the glad night. Preacher, just share Jesus with us. I love you, brother.
Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. And while we're just taking a moment and just meeting together, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. And I apologize for using this handheld mic tonight. I told your preacher this morning, I said, said something about using it. I know some preachers are a little particular about that kind of thing. And he said, "Preacher, we got five. You can use all five at one time if you want to." And I don't think it's going to take that tonight, but I do appreciate him giving me a little liberty to do that. And I am having a little issue with my voice. I am no rock star, that's for sure. Because rock stars don't get as nervous as I get, and when I'm getting ready to preach. And man, I've been preaching for a lot of years now, but I get nervous every time. It's almost like the first time every time. You would think after a while that you would sort of get over that. And maybe some do, I don't know, but I just never do. And I guess that's good. In a way, I guess that's good. And I tell our young preachers in the church, don't ever lose all that nervousness. If you ever lose it all, then you're probably getting a little too dependent upon self. And so anyway, we have one of our fine young preachers here tonight. I appreciate Brother Justin Bushy and his wife, Kristen, being here tonight. And boy, they're a blessing to us. And Justin's going to be filling our pulpit for us Wednesday night. And I appreciate him being here. And there may be others here tonight from Calvary. But anyway, I appreciate you being here. And then thank you for coming. Those from Calvary and North Wilkesboro, thank you for coming out. I know it's a sacrifice to, to be here and to be faithful. And I appreciate that so, so much. And so thank you for being here. And I appreciate that. I love you, preacher, and his wife and family. And as I said last night, we count them as dear friends. I really do. I talked to Brother Zach just a little while ago, and he told me, he said, "Dad," he said, "when you go to Calvary tonight," he said, "please don't forget to tell Calvary how much we love them and appreciate them." He said that Calvary Baptist Church, he said, there's other churches, don't get me wrong, but he said Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro has been such a blessing to them. And they'll be moving into their brand new building here, having their first service the first week of May. And so that's huge. That's a huge blessing. And so you remember them in your prayers, if you will. And they're fighting a little bit of a battle right now. And God knows about that, and you don't have to know what it is, but God knows. And so you pray for them and just lift Brother Zach and Miss Amber up. They'll be Amber and Josiah and Taylor. They'll be flying in Friday and to be here. Amber's brother's getting married, but they couldn't afford to fly them all in. And so Zach and Mason are staying there. And anyway, but you pray for them as they fly in later this week, and we'll look forward to seeing some of them here. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles. Let me say this real quickly, too, before I forget. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, if God continues to direct this way, tomorrow night's going to be a great night for you to try to bring your lost loved ones with you tomorrow evening. So I want to encourage you to invite folks to be here tomorrow night, especially those that are lost without Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, I'll try, but they won't come." Well, you know what? It won't hurt to try. Amen. All they can say is no. And so just invite them, and you never know. They may come tomorrow night, and it'll be a wonderful, wonderful night for you to bring your lost loved ones, lost family members. How many of you have a lost family? Yeah, that's right. We all do. And maybe they haven't been in church in a long, long time. And so just, you know what, tonight, send them a text or an email or give them a phone call, preferably tonight, maybe in the morning, and say, "Listen, we're having a revival. And, boy, sure would love for you to come. And we're going to do our best to try to lift up Jesus tomorrow night." But I really feel like it'd be a good service for lost family members. And so I encourage you to bring them with you tomorrow night. It's a joy to be here. I mean that. Man, I'm just honored. I'm honored to be anywhere. I don't know why I'd get an invitation to go preach anywhere. I really don't. God knows. He really does know, but, I can't always explain it, but God knows. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles, when you find your place, if you would stand with us tonight out of respect for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand. And Ephesians 1, and look, if you will, please, at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Thank you for being faithful to God's house tonight. The Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Notice what Paul says here, in the knowledge of him. Then he says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding. And so Paul mentions knowledge in verse 17. And then when we come to verse 18, he says understanding, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Enlightened, it's the Greek word photizo. We have a word that we get from that. It's called photo, picture. And Paul says being enlightened. And then he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now again, I want you to follow scripture tonight. So Paul talks about knowledge in verse 17. In verse 18, he talks about understanding. He talks about being enlightened or seeing something. Then he talks about knowing about something. Verse 18 talks about what the riches of the glory. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now I want you to notice verse 23. Which is his body. And then he says, the fullness of him. Oh my. So he says, has given all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Just for a few minutes tonight, I don't think we're going to be long. But just for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about this subject, a reflection of Christ. Reflection of Christ. You may be seated tonight, and we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us tonight, and we'll preach just for a few minutes, and I trust that this will make sense. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight, and thank you for Calvary Baptist Church, and God, thank you for their burden for souls. Thank you for, God, their desire for revival, and God, I want to thank you so much for Brother Hall and Miss Cindy, and God, what a blessing they've been to my wife and I. We love them, count them as dear friends. And then so many of these folk that we'll preach to tonight, Lord, we count them as dear friends as well. Lord, what a loving church. God, what a great church. And I'm just honored and privileged to be here tonight. And God, I pray now that you would, Lord, just the best I know how, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this service. And Lord, I have gotten, Lord, the impression throughout the day that the devil is, Lord, doing his best to try to take away, and he's trying to hinder. But God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this service and over this people and over this pastor and over this preacher tonight. And God, I pray that you'll accomplish your will. I pray, God, that you might bind the powers of darkness. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep them out. And I pray that the blessing of God would be in here tonight. And Lord, if there may be one here that has never been saved, oh Lord, let this Monday night of revival be the night where they come to know Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be a reflection of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, every day that we live. Help now, I pray. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. The Bible says here that the church is is the fullness of Him. The fullness of Him. In other words, how else is the world ever going to comprehend Him or understand Him or know Him or see a photo of Him or see Him work if they do not see Him in us? You understand that at Calvary, the world has heard about Jesus. They have read some things about Jesus. They have envisioned some things about Jesus. But when they see us, the church, when they see the church, we ought to be the fullness of Jesus Christ. Everything they've heard about Him, everything they've read about Him, everything they've seen about Him ought to be, you know what, it ought to come full circle when they see the church. The church is to be the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are to portray the Lord to this area, to North Wilkesboro, to Union Grove, to Wilkes County, Surrey County, Davie County, Yadkin County, Arnold County. We are to be a picture of what Jesus Christ is all about. If I could say it like this, the church is to be like a mirror. When you look in a mirror casts a reflection. And you know what? When this world sees us, they ought to see a reflection of Jesus Christ. I don't do this myself, but I got a feeling that there's just a few here tonight that probably do. There's something that you can get on your phone called Snapchat. I don't do it, but maybe some of you do. And now all the old timers are saying, "What is it, preacher?" And all the young people are saying, "Oh yeah, preacher, come on, get with it." But Snapchat. And one of the things that you can do on Snapchat is that you can do what's called a face swap. You know what? You can change faces. Now, it's your body, but it's a different face. And I thought about that today. You know what? In essence, did you know that we ought to be the spiritual version of a Snapchat or a face swap? In other words, when people look at you and when people look at me, they should not see our face, but they ought to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about that scripture over in Acts chapter 6 about the deacon Stephen, where the Bible says, "And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And so I say again that you and I are to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is supposed to be a screen upon which the projector shines. We are not the projector. We are not the video. We are not the movie. We are not the star. We're not even the co-star. We are just the screen that the projector shines upon. My wife and I were on our way home not too long ago, and it was a beautiful night. It was so clear, and we were heading down the road, and the moon, and you know what I'm talking about, the moon looked so large that night. I mean, it looked like it was right next door. And we were going down the road, and my wife said, "Man, look at the moon." And man, it was just, I mean, it was like you could see every single contour, every design of the moon. You could see because it was so lit up. But the truth of the matter is, the moon has no light of its own. The moon is only as bright as the sun is bright. And as the sun shines upon moon, you know what the moon is doing? The moon is but reflecting the work of the sun. Oh yeah. And that's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 1, that you and I are to be a reflection of the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. Brother, when the world looks at you and when the world looks at me, they ought to see Jesus Christ. We ought to be a reflection. We ought to be a mirror. We ought to be the screen that the projector shines upon. We are to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. It's been a long time ago now. A good friend of mine is an assistant pastor here, not too far from here. And we went to the same Bible college together, while he was there, he was in a horrific car crash. Just terrible. Him and several fellows. One of the things that damaged in the car crash was his face. He hit his face, and his face was just terribly, terribly deformed. Well, of course, ambulances came and they rushed him to the hospital, and he was a very sick young man. They called his mom and dad. His dad pastors a church here in North Carolina, and they were way up in Indiana, and now in a hospital in Chicago. And so they called down and talked to his mom and dad. And of course, that phone call that no parent ever wants to get. And they said, "Your son has been in a terrible accident, and there's a lot of damage. And part of the damage is with his face." Now they said, "Here's what we need you to do. We need you, before you leave, we need you to find a picture of Matt. And we need you to bring that picture with us. And as you bring that picture, we're going to take that picture and we're going to give that picture to the plastic surgeon. And little by little by little, that plastic surgeon is going to try to pick out all the glass. And he's going to try to sew together his face. And he's going to try to look at that picture. And he's going to try to reconstruct his face like it once was." Well, you can imagine, mom and dad were literally beside themselves with emotion and just throwing things in suitcases and trying to find an airplane ticket up to Chicago. And all the emotionalism and all the rush, the mama, when she went to get a picture, she accidentally got a picture of Matt's brother. She took that picture, she threw it in the bag, and not even thinking, just so emotional. And they got up there and she said, "Here's a picture," gave it to the surgeon, and the surgeon took it. They never knew. A little bit later, after the surgery, and maybe several days, when the swelling began to go down and Matt's face began to take its normal or regular form, they noticed that Matt looked different. In fact, they noticed that Matt was beginning to look a lot like his brother. Now, that's sort of a crazy story, but I thought about this. Did you know that after the surgery of salvation, did you know when the Spirit of God comes in and the Spirit of God saves your soul and begins to make a change in your life? Did you know that after the surgery of salvation, that you and I ought to start resembling Jesus Christ? And when people look at us, they shouldn't see us. And when people look at Pastor Mark, they shouldn't see Mark Hall. They ought to see Jesus Christ. And when people look at Brother Chris, they shouldn't see Brother Chris. They ought to see Jesus Christ. When people see you at work, they ought to see Jesus Christ. And when people see you at school, they ought to see Jesus Christ. I'm just saying tonight, church, that you and I are a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A question tonight: how are you portraying Jesus to the world? I wonder tonight, what is on your projection screen tonight? I'm afraid a lot of Christians, the picture that's on the projection screen is a picture of instability. Up, down, all around. I mean, you never know how they're going to be. I know folks like that. You do too. I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know when they're going to be in a good mood. I mean, one day and they're in a good mood, the next 2 days they're in a bad mood. And I mean, one day they want to shake your hand, the next two they don't want to shake your hand. One week they want to speak to you, the next week they don't care. Man, they wouldn't spit on you if you're on fire. I mean, just up and down and unstable. I wonder tonight if what's on your screen would be maybe inconsistency, never the same. I wonder tonight if what's on your screen might be struggling with strongholds or carnality or worldliness. And again, church, I'm just trying to say tonight that you and I are to be the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's all about Him tonight. Can I take just a moment and give you a few suggestions? Some things that the world ought to see when they look at Steve Pope. Some things they ought to see when they look at you and they look at me. Number one, I wrote this down. They ought to see that Christ is love. Amen. They ought to see that Jesus Christ is love. You know, one of the reasons that God didn't take you to heaven as soon as you got saved? I mean, think about that. The reason when you trusted Jesus Christ, the reason that God didn't rapture you out and take you to glory is because God knows that there is a world that desperately needs to see the love of Jesus Christ. And church, how are they ever going to see the love of Christ if they do not see the love of Christ in you and in me? We are the fullness of Christ. You understand that tonight? Oh, listen to me. How many know this? That people don't care how much you know until first they know how much you care. You may have a college education, and that's great. I'm all for that. But the truth of the matter is, people really don't care about your college education. You may have went to two or three Bible colleges. You may have enough degrees after your name that you appear to be a thermometer. I'm just telling you, brother, it doesn't matter if it's pastor or doctor or PhD, or it doesn't matter what your job level is or what kind of income you make. The truth of the matter is, most people really don't care what you know until first they know that you care. In fact, Paul said this. Paul said, without love, we can accomplish very little. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 3, Paul said this, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Hey, Calvary, listen, can I just tell you tonight, there is a world out there tonight, and they just need some loving. They just need some, oh, I know, sometimes they're cantankerous, and sometimes they use wrong words, and sometimes they say the wrong kind of jokes. I got all that. I know that. But I'm just telling you, brother, there is a world right outside those doors that desperately needs to see the love of Christ. I remember years ago when I was driving a truck, I used to go to a business almost every single day. It's a big business. And in this business, there was a fella. His name was David. And David, I don't know what was wrong with David, but David was always up in the air about something. He was, I mean, David never appeared to be having a good day. He was always fussing, always cussing, always fussing at somebody. Sort of like Brother Chris down here. You know, and he was always going on about something. Never satisfied, never happy, never smiling, always blowing off steam. He was like that, man. I mean, day after day after day, I went in there, and David was always like that. I never knew anything else. And one day I was in there, and there again, David was just going at it. I mean, man, he was just spewing. I mean, brother, he was hot under the collar, and he was fussing and cussing and having a time. And I thought, you know what? I've had about enough of this. I went over to David, and I wrapped my arm around him. I put my arm around his neck, and I just pulled him close to me. And I said, David, I'm praying for you, buddy. Man, as soon as I said that, it's like he didn't know what to say. I mean, he humbled right down. You know, it's amazing. Right after that, things begin to change. Every time I come in there, David wasn't cussing. He wasn't fussing. In fact, you know what? I'd come in there and he'd ask for me. He'd say, hey, has that preacher been in here yet? And man, he'd find me. He'd say, hey, I need you to pray about something for me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to listen. I need you to talk to God for me. I'm just telling you, world, listen, there is a world out there that desperately needs to see the love of Jesus Christ. It was John Dillinger. He was 11 years of age. They said that John Dillinger, who by the way came from a very rough background, mother was no longer in the picture. He lived at home with his dad. And John Dillinger walked into a church not far from Indianapolis, Indiana, 11 years of age, walked in, didn't have much upbringing. And of course that day he walked in, he was just a little misbehaved, never really been to church. And didn't know how you act in church. I mean, just didn't know. By the way, we're reaching that kind of generation now. And so one of the deacons, they said, walked up to John Dillinger and said, hey, boy, you won't be coming back to this church acting like that. By the way, he didn't. He never did come back. And never did get saved, as far as I know. And John Dillinger became known in history as one of the most famous bank robbers of all time. Now, you say, what's your point? My point is this. I wonder what would have happened If instead of coming down there and rebuking a young boy whose mama was no longer in the picture, who lived with a daddy that was lost, who didn't really know how to behave in church, I wonder what would have happened to John Dellinger if a godly deacon would have walked down there and sat down beside him and put his arm around him and say, "Hey, buddy, I'm so glad you came to church today. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you and I love you. And I'm glad you're in hell." We don't do exactly like that in church, but let me show you what you ought to do. Let me be your buddy and let me direct you and let me tell you about Jesus. And I often wonder, brother, if somebody would have shown the love of Jesus Christ to John Dellinger, if maybe, just maybe, things would have turned out a little differently. Hey, Calvary, this world needs to see the love of Christ. I think about that missionary that I read about, went to a very hard place, very hard field, a remote jungle, was doing his best to try to lead those folks to Christ. They did not want him there. They rebelled and tried to get rid of him. And he did his best to try to teach them about the love of God and how God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. But they just could not understand that kind of love. Often they mocked him and scoffed at him and tried to get him to leave. One day, the chief came of the village, came to the missionary, and the missionary's son had come up missing, couldn't find him. And the chief said, "I'm just going to let you know, some of the natives killed your little boy." He said, "We know now that you will leave us." He said, "We know now that you will not only leave us, but you will hate us." But there's something that village chief did not understand. That missionary knew what his job was. He came there to reach those people for Christ. And that missionary stayed. He did not leave, but he stayed. He did not get bitter, but he got better. And he stayed. And little by little by little, in a heart of forgiveness, he led those natives to Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, church, we are the fullness of Jesus Christ. How is the world ever going to see him unless they see him through us? This world ought to see that Christ is love. Reverend Benton Ellis wrote those immortal words, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Calvary, they ought to see that Christ is love. But can I say this quickly? They ought to see that Christ is joy. Hey, did you know, I am convinced about something, preacher, that some of the happiest people in the world ought to be Christian people. Now listen, church, we're not going to be much longer. That's my longest point. But I'm going to tell you what, brother, if anybody ought to be happy, we ought to be happy. I'm talking about saved, blood washed, born again, going to heaven. And I had a guy today. We've got a dear friend that's right at the point of death. He's a good man. In fact, he came to my house, preacher, many, many months ago, knocked on my door, and I walked to the door. He put $2,000 cash in my hand to give to Haven in Santa Clarita. He's a good man, but he's got cancer, and it looks like he's right at the brink of death. And he's got a good Christian wife, teaches in a Christian school, and I talked to a gentleman today. He said, "You know, the big question right now is, you know, why would God do that? I mean, why does God allow good people to die? And it just doesn't seem fair." And I said, "Brother, let me answer that." I said, "The truth of the matter is, you and I don't understand enough about heaven." Amen. I'm telling you, brother, you know what? One of these days, we feel sorry for those that are getting ready to pass. And once they get there, they feel sorry because we haven't passed. Oh, listen, the happiest people in the world ought to be people that know your citizenship in glory. Hey, did you know something tonight? This is as bad as it's ever going to get for you. But for those here tonight who are lost without Christ, if you never get saved, I want you to understand something tonight. This is the best it'll ever be for you. It's all downhill from here. They ought to see that Christ is joy. I read a story here recently about Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. He served on the Supreme Court for 30 years. 30 years. He had the unofficial title of being one of the greatest justices of all times on the Supreme Court. And they asked him one day about his life and about his history. And Oliver Wendell Holmes said this. He said, early in my life, he said, I really thought that I was going to go into the ministry. He said, I really expected to be a preacher. But he said, the only preachers I knew always acted like undertakers instead of preachers. Never smiled, never joked, never laughed. And Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, you know what? If that is being a preacher, I'll just go into law instead. How many know this tonight? Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Luke chapter 2, verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm glad you don't have to be a part of the world to have joy. Yes. Hey, you may be lost and you may have pleasure, but I'm going to tell you what, you don't have true joy. David Jeremiah said it like this. Men have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable. Some have successfully found it while others have not. Perhaps it'd be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. Joy cannot be found in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type, and he wrote these words, I wish I had never been born. Joy cannot be found in pleasure. Lord Byron said, lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. And he wrote, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Joy cannot be found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. But when he died, he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth. Joy cannot be found in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. And he wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. Joy cannot be found in military glory. It was Alexander the Great conquered the world, the known world at that time, and said this as he wept, there are no more worlds to conquer. Where then is real joy found? And the answer is this, Jesus. Man, that's where real joy is found. It's not in money. Man, listen, if you don't believe so, go with me to Hollywood to visit Brother Zach. And man, you'll see those multi-million dollar homes and you'll see the Maseratis and you'll see the BMWs and you'll see the limousines and you'll see all those people. But I'm telling you, brother, they are some of the most miserable people and lost people that you've ever met in your life. I'm telling you, joy comes in Jesus. I think maybe I told this story. I can't remember. But it was a conference, a large conference in Omaha, Nebraska. It's a Presbyterian conference. And at this Presbyterian conference, they had an idea, many, many people there. And so when people walked into the service that day, they had helium-filled balloons. And as folks walk in, they would hand them a balloon. They said, now here's what we want you to do. They said, as the service progresses and you feel joy and gratitude in your heart to the Lord, we want you to let your balloon go. You know, they were Presbyterians. They didn't feel like they could say hallelujah or glory. And by the way, if you've never done it, you ought to try it. You ought to try it once in a while. It's a lot of fun. That's right. And so they gave those balloons to those Presbyterians and the service went on. And throughout the course of the service, you would see balloons ascending. But I think the important part of that story is this. They said that at the close of the service, one third of those balloons had never been released. People were still holding on to them. Hey, Calvary, I just came here tonight to tell you something. Let your balloon go, man. Amen. Let your balloon go. If you're here tonight and you're born again and you know that you're saved and you know that Christ is your Savior and you know the Bible's your book and God is your Father and heaven's your home, I'm going to tell you, man, listen, if you're not a shouter, you at least ought to smile. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, there's something about knowing Jesus. He is the best friend I've ever had. He's never disappointed me. He's never let me down. He's never broke a promise to me. I want to tell you what, buddy, I love the Christian life. I love church. I love God's people. I love serving Jesus, and by the grace of God, I'm going to let my balloon go every time I get the chance. Man, listen, church, how are we going to make a difference in this world if we walk in on Monday like the rest of the world does? People say, well, it's Monday. Yeah, and it's the day after Sunday. Boy, we had a good day yesterday. It's about like that one guy was always happy and upbeat. And just blew the world's mind. I mean, they didn't understand it. Every day he came in, he was smiling, happy, joyful. Finally, one of them confronted him and said, man, what's your deal? He said, why are you always so happy? He said, I'm happy because I'm saved. He said, well, how do you know you're saved? He said, because I was there when it happened. Amen. And brother, I want to tell you what. I was there when it happened. I can take you to the place. I can take you to the place, brother, where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you just have to excuse me, brother, if I get a little carried away sometimes, because he's worth getting excited about. He's worth smiling about. He's worth shouting about. He's worth preaching about. I want to tell you what. What a God. 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 What a God I serve tonight. Hey, Calvary, they ought to see that Christ is love. They ought to see that Christ is joy. Let me close tonight. They ought to see that Christ is victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things are more than conquerors through him loved us. I'm telling you, brother, this world is mixed up. They are jacked up. I mean, brother, y'all know what I'm, I don't have to tell y'all. I'm telling you, brother, this world's got problems. I've never seen so many people in bondage. I've never seen so many people in demonic bondage, bondage to medications. I've never seen so many problems in marriages and homes. And you know what? Somewhere in a business around here, or a school around here, or a home around here, I'm going to tell you what, brother, this community ought to see some people who are a reflection of Jesus Christ. And when they look at you, and when they look at me, they ought to see that Christ is victory. And he is victory. It was the story. He was walking through a park in his hometown. And in this park was a huge oak tree. A vine had begun to grow up the side of this oak tree, just unbelievably large. And he said over the years, this vine grew and grew and grew, and it grew up the sides of this oak tree. And man, you would see more creepers going around this way and more vines going around this way. And he said, literally, he said that vine began to take over this oak tree, this beautiful park. Creepers everywhere. And they said that literally this oak tree, the life, was being squeezed out of this oak tree. But you know what? There were some gardeners in that park who saw what was happening. And so one day they came up with a plan, and they came to that park with a saw. They got at the base of that tree, that big oak tree, right about where that vine was growing, and they sawed through the trunk of that vine. Now, wait a minute now. Days later, those creepers were still there, but the vine was dead. Hey, do you know, Calvary, if you look at Steve Pope very long, you're going to see some creepers. You're going to see some vines. You're going to see some branches and some leaves. But I want to tell you what, you know what? About 36 years ago, when I walked into my pastor's back office and I said, "Preacher, I've got to know. And he took out his little red Scofield Bible and led me down the Romans road. And I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. Thank God, I want to tell you that Jesus took a glorified saw and he sawed that vine through. You may still see some branches. You may still see some creepers, but I'm glad I can come here tonight and tell you the vine is dead. Amen. It's dead. I'm thankful that I can live in victory through Jesus Christ." And by the way, so can you. You say, "Preacher, the devil won't leave me alone. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And there's not anything, I said there's not anything that Jesus Christ cannot help you overcome tonight. We are more than conquerors through him. You're here tonight. You say, "Pastor, I don't know Jesus that you're talking about. I don't know that I know that I know that I know that I know that if I were to die tonight, that heaven would be my home." I want to tell you what, you're in the right place tonight. We're so glad you came. You say, "Pastor, I'm not a Christian," but you're welcome here. And we're so glad you came tonight. And you know what? We want you to know that same friend that we know. We want you to know that same deliverance that we know. We want you to know that same victory that we know. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that you're saved, in just a moment, we're going to give you the opportunity to come down to this altar and receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Wait a minute now. You're here tonight. You say, "Pastor, I am saved." Ask a question. What's on your projection screen tonight? What did people see at work today? At the office? What did they see on your projection screen? What was the reflection in the mirror that they seen today? If it wasn't Jesus, something ought to change. In just a moment, I'm going to ask dozens just to get up and leave your places and make your way somewhere down to an old-fashioned altar somewhere. And you know what? There ought to be some folks that get down here today and say, "Lord, please, when the world looks at me, help them to see Jesus Christ. God, maybe my talk has not been what it should be. Lord, maybe my spirit has not been what it should be. God, maybe my spirit at home hasn't been what it should be. I haven't been treating my mom and dad like Jesus would. I haven't been treating my husband like Jesus would. I haven't been treating my wife like Jesus would." I'm going to ask some dozens of you to make your way down to this altar and just get down. By the way, nobody has to know why you're coming. But you come down here today and find a place and you get with Jesus. Would you stand with us all over tonight, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. And Lord, I thank you for these that have turned away from other cares to be the house of God tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to realize that we, the church, we are the fullness. We're the fullness of Jesus Christ. Lord, when the world looks at me, what do they see? Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask you in just a moment, those that are here tonight that do not know for sure that they're saved, I want you to help them to come. Give them courage. God, give them courage to step out and to come tonight and get saved. Those that are saved tonight, but maybe the right kind of thing is not on their projection screen this evening, God, I pray that dozens and dozens will make their way to this altar tonight and say, "God, help me. Help me to be the Christian I ought to be. Oh, Lord, tomorrow, I pray the world will see something different tomorrow. Jesus, help them to see you. Help them not to see me. Help them to see you." Father, have thy way in this invitation. I pray you'll direct the pastor in just a moment. God, help us, please. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are about to close. Folks are already making their way down. Why don't you join them?